young church community that follows the will of God. Romans, chapter 12, verses 1-2. Let us turn to a book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. Right now, we are in a New Year's worship service. But frankly speaking, what is the true meaning of a New Year? Just because the old days have passed and the New Year has come, we have a brand new year? Just because we have new clothes on, are we brand new people? I do not think so. We need to have a more fundamental change, to be able to say it is a new year and we became new people. I think the fundamental thing is the heart. If there are no new determination, no new aim, no new decision, no new vision, no new direction, then the time has passed, but to be honest, it is not truly a new year. A true meaning of a new year is when new vision, new determination, new aim, new plans have set in the heart. When these are in our hearts, when these have been designed in our hearts, that day will become a new day and a new year. If there is something that we have not been able to complete last year, and then keep working on that this year. Keep trying. Also, set up a new goal and begin working on it. While we hesitate, the time passes. So, it has been said that there are three kinds of things that do not come back after these have passed. One is the arrow that has missed the center area near the target. Therefore, when the chance comes, do your best and pull it hard. The other thing is the word that came out of mouth already. Words that we have already said cannot be put back again. We need to watch our lips. The other thing is the time. Once the time has passed, it does not come back to us. It only remains as memories. Therefore, in the time that we are given, choose your priorities properly and use it valuably. So we set the motto for our church this year, as the young church community that follows the will of God. In this world, there are two kinds of ways. One is the way to go to the world. The other is the way to go to God. Also, there are two kinds of meanings. One is the meaning that belongs to the flesh and the other is the meaning that belongs to the spirit. If we put meaning that belongs to the flesh as the worldly one, then the meaning that belongs to the spirit is the one that is the godly one. It is the one that belongs to God. Life of a Christian is about following the will of God and setting the direction towards Him. Going as fast as possible to the set destination is not necessarily the best way. When the way was not the correct way, and if we go through this way as fast as possible, then it takes us longer to come back to the right track. The faster we travel, the more unfortunate we will be on the wrong track. So the more important thing is the direction, not the speed. Pay attention to Jonah in the Bible. He was told to go to Nineveh. But he ignored the will of God and went to Tarshish, instead. He met the storm there and was about to nearly die. It was because he was going to the wrong direction. Paul was like that too before he met the Lord. He had eagerness, but that eagerness was not aligned to the will of God. It was against the will of God. He persecuted the believers and gave them really hard time. Peter was the same as well. He did not consider the will of God and first of all, tried to use the sword. When he did that, he was rebuked by the Lord in return. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. Faith is not about fighting against the cross back to back, but it is about carrying the cross. It was the will of God. So, the Lord prayed first of all so hard as, if the sweat drops would become blood drops in Gethsemane. He prayed and asked the will of God. We need to pray to ask about the will of God, as well first of all. The Bible tells us that it is a spiritual worship that God is pleased with. It has been said that it is a holy and living sacrifice. Paul came up with two kinds of ways that we can follow the will of God and to be truly transformed. First of all, he said to restore the spiritual worship in us. Let us read verse 1 together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. It is a worship that God is pleased with. The worship that is given to God is a spiritual worship. God is spirit. The main figure that we worship in our worship service is only God. Worship is kneeling down before God who is Almighty. It is glorifying God. In faith, there is nothing that is more important than worship. If we fail to worship, then it means a failure of faith. Through worship, God blesses us human beings. What is the most essential thing in faith? It is worship. Worship time is the time that God is with us. Worship is the time that God and human beings have fellowship together. Worship time is the time that God blesses human beings. Therefore, the believers need to put importance on worship most highly. Christians need to treat the worship services most importantly. Also, we need to live a life that is centered on worship services. When the Israelites walked across the area of wilderness, they placed the Ark of the Covenant of God in the center. They divided 12 tribes into 4 parts by 3 tribes each. They located themselves so that the Ark of the Covenant of God could be seen from every direction, from the east, west, south and the north. The place that they could always have worship services was the camp of the Israelites. When the Ark of the Covenant of God began to move, the people started to move. When the Ark of the Covenant of God stayed, then the people also stayed where they were. Where they stayed, they began to give sacrifices before God. The people of Israel centered their lives on worship. The center of their lives was solely focused on worship services. Worship services were a blessing to Israel. It was a guide for them and it was a protection for them. When God blessed Abraham as well, he led Abraham to work on worship services and sacrifices first of all. We also need to restore our worship services. We need to restore our main worship services and focus more on worship services. These days, the church worship services have deteriorated. It is a time of spiritual crisis. It is a time of spiritual downfall. People try to do whatever they feel like and do what is more comfortable for them. They make excuses and try to please people. Some churches fear that people might go to the other churches, so they hold their evening worship services at about 2 p.m. in the afternoon to get hold of the church attendees. They call this an evening service. We need to go back to the essence of faith and restore the worship services like the ones in the early church again. Since the worship services began to lose its importance among people, the faith started to deteriorate more and more. Faith began to go down and get weaker. A spiritual worship is a worship that we worship with living sacrifices. In the latter part of verse 1, it says, "To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship." What does it mean by as living sacrifices? It refers to our lives that should be act of worship. It is a life that walks with God wherever we are. A worship service that we have at church is not only a worship service. We should not only live our lives in a holy way on Sundays. Our workplaces and businesses as well, it should portray that it is our worship. If you are a student at school, then your life at school should be an act of worship. Faith should be practiced in everyday lives. That would be a spiritual worship and a living sacrifice. Our lives should be an act of worship in reality. I will share a story with you briefly. One couple had a worship service together at church. After a sermon was preached by a pastor, he had an altar call. He asked the congregation if there was anyone that decided to believe in Jesus from now on. He asked to put the hand up. At that time, the wife poked the side of her husband. Hey, you should put your hand up and decide to believe in Jesus. She said that to her husband, but her husband did not have any response. After the worship service has ended, they were coming back home. On the way home, the wife was quite disappointed about the fact that her husband did not put his hand up after the service, when the pastor had an altar call. She asked her husband, "Why did you not put your hand up when the pastor asked to put the hand up if you came to church for the first time?" Husband answered her, "Darling, you have been living your life as a Christian so far and I have been living as a non-believer. But, when I drank alcohol, you also drank it. Also, when I played gambles, you also played it with me. When I danced at a club, you also danced together with me. Your life was not different from my life. It was in fact the same. What is the reason that I should become a Christian? When I see you, I do not feel any need to become a Christian. So that is why I did not put my hand up." When a wife heard it, she was so ashamed. She fasted for 3 days and repented. She confessed it afterwards. That is right. If a believer does not live a life that is godly and differentiated from other lives, then of course to that person, but also to other people, it would not have any positive impact on people around them. We should not only be people of faith within church setting but also outside the church, we should be believers. Also, it has been said, do not conform to the pattern to this world. Verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. We should not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not conform any longer means, stop learning from it. Learning from it means become assimilated and similar. But, as Christians, we should stop learning from this to generation. We need to go against the flow. A living fish does not go with the flow of the current. But, it goes against the current of the water. When I was young, when it rained so hard, I saw a fish on the rooftop of a house, when I was growing up in the countryside. That fish followed the splash of the water and ended up on the rooftop. I thought that fish fell from the heaven above. When I found it out later, it followed the raindrops and came up from the river stream. It was possible, because the fish was alive. The wondrous fact about the fish is that even though this fish lives in the salty water of the sea, it does not get soaked in the salty water. It goes against the current flow of water and swims through. True Christians are the ones that do not get into the worldly pattern of this world. True Christians do not get rotten and do not get assimilated to the worldly influences. True Christians do not follow and swim the same way as the water current. True Christians lead the changes of the world and go against the flow. This is what true Christians should be like. The Lord came to this world, casted the darkness away and led the changes. At that time, the religion, politics were all intertwined. Pharisees and secretaries' resistance would have been so strong at the time. But the Lord criticized the falsehood very strongly. He did not remain silent about the downfall of these people. He allowed the religious reformation to happen. This is what the faith is about and this is what faith can do. The religious reformer that initiated the whole reformation was the Lord. He changed the flow at the time that was corrupted. Who are the people of God that the Bible is referring to? These people are the ones that went against the flow of corruption. They stopped the sins of that time. Jehoshaphat was like that, Elijah was like that and also Daniel was like that. The true faith is not getting influenced by the pattern of this world. It is going against the flow. But, the Christians of these days have lost this passion. It seems the Christians of these days are conforming to this pattern of this world and going with the flow. I heard that 3% of saltiness prevents the sea to be decayed. There are about 15% of people in this world who are in politics, economy, social issues, culture, education, media and etc. but it seems that our world is not yet getting purified. We have lost our true nature as Christians. We have become assimilated to the pattern of this world already to some extent. We need to get up. We need to rise up. We can do it. God is alive. Like Caleb and Joshua who have spied on Jericho area, we need to blow the trumpets of ram's horns towards this to generation. Paul said, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will." Paul requested us to not follow the pattern of this world, but against the flow. He asked us to keep our holiness. The duck that lives in water, resides in water but it does not get soaked in water. It is because the oil comes out from the feather. Originally the heart needs to be renewed. The latter part of verse 2 says, "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will." The true transformation is the transformation in heart. A heart is like roots of a tree that cannot be seen from outside. When a heart is healthy, and when it has been changed in a good way, that we become a new person. David said in Psalms, chapter 51 like this. When he confessed his sins, even though his body sinned, he did not ask to fix his hands and feet. He prayed to God to fix his heart. It is because the heart is the root of everything. A famous figure in church history, Saint Augustine, actually had a really corrupted life when he was young. He was not married but lived with a woman. He had a son even. When he was 32 years old, he listened to a famous Ambrose sermon out of a mere coincidence. He began to repent. After he repented, he read the Bible, prayed and lived his life as a Christian. But one day, he met a woman on a street that he used to meet when he was drunk. This woman tempted him again. "How come you do not come and drink with me anymore?" But Augustine said, "The old Augustine died and I am a new person now." That is right. Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the old has gone, the new has come." A true change is a change that has started from the heart and became visible in outside. It is becoming more like the Lord in all areas of our lives. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how should Christians live? We need to be able to distinguish the will of God in our lives. It is focusing from the criteria of me to criteria of God, and to be attentive from the request of me to request of God. Put your priority of life on God, and think of the Lord in the perspectives of the Lord. It is the life that follows the will of God. Like the motto of our church this year, let us be the young in church community that follows the will of God. In whatever situation we are in, follow the will of God. Choose the direction according to it. Let us put our trust on God. When we are able to do that, we would not be assimilated to the pattern of this world but we will be able to go against the follow. We will have victory in Jesus' name with that kind of faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.